You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where his fantasies are on a Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is on. You like football? We're talking football, all right? We're talking Division III football. We're talking FCS football. We're talking FBS football. We're talking NFL football. Howard Bender, sound the alarm, man. Sound the alarm. And the alarm never goes off in this building when you need it. Pretty much like, the fire alarm in this building are like cops and taxis. Never around when you need them. All right? But Fantasy Alarm is there for you 24-7. Howard Bender is here for us. Big fan of Bender. See what Bender's take is on Week 15 NFL football from a fantasy perspective and a DFS perspective. We've got a DraftKings lineup for you. And listen, we've been doing this for 3 years here, right? Well, we're moving in on a fourth-year anniversary here at the Fantasy Sports Network. And this is our worst year for DFS. And it kind of sucks because I'm like a broken record. Every week I say the same thing. Guys, you know, we had like five great picks and we got one or two crap picks. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm getting pretty pissed off and frustrated. We've done very good at doubling our money and playing online. But, you know, I want to give you guys a big hit. At least last year, we won like $2,400 over the year. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm frustrated by this. I think I've got a pretty good lineup this week. I'm rolling the dice a little bit, but I'm taking calculated risk, and I think you'll like the lineup as well. This lineup will do well in head-to-heads. It'll do well in double-ups. Will it make you $1 million? I don't know. I sure as hell hope so. Steve Merrill's going to step up, and we're going to talk football with Steve Merrill. You ever heard of Mary Harden Baylor? I often think that like people who work in like sports television and radio don't know enough. You know, they sort of, you know, they know about general things, but you know, and I always get upset. But even me, I'll admit, I never heard of Mary Harden Baylor before. Like, Mary Harden Baylor sounds like a frozen food. Mary Harden Baylor's chicken pot pie. Nothing beats it come at the holiday. They'll think you made it. You know, and they show like, you know, show like grandma sort of grinning, you know, looking into the camera. She didn't make it. She just pretended she did because it's Mary Harden Baylor's. Top quality. Mary Harden Baylor, actually, I actually learned the history. I would tell you, but I know nobody cares. So anyways, they've won 29 games in a row. Do you care about that? I'm like, who the hell are these guys? Yeah, they've won 29 games in a row. That's who they are. So yeah, we got Mary Harden Baylor. So Division III championship game tonight. We got some FCS stuff going on. North Dakota State, of course, in the Final Four. They're taking on Sam Houston State. The Bearcats are always in this thing as well. Steve Merrill's like the only guy that joins us on the program that can break this stuff down with us. We got the bowl games that start tomorrow. We got NFL football. So we're talking college football playoffs. We're talking bowl games. We're talking NFL from a betting perspective. And we're talking NFL from a DFS perspective. And I got some picks for you for this evening as well, of course. So let's get right down to business right now. As I believe we're, what, 10 days away from Christmas right now? Officially 10 days away from Christmas. Hanukkah has already started. So the pressure is on. The holidays generally just mean pressure for people in their personal lives, in their social lives. You know, you've got to travel. You need to make sure you have money, so you don't look like a loser next to your cousin or your uncle at the table. So what do you do with your life, Sean? It's like, well, you know, I took the bus to get here, and you know, I'm kind of broke right now, but you know, things will pick up. Next to like the jackass uncle there. Oh yeah, I just graduated from Columbia, Grandma. Everybody has it. I don't. I'm not doing anything on Christmas. I'm going to be sitting there alone. Think of me. I'll be sitting there alone watching, you know, thank God for the NBA. You know, sports. Sports is the savior of the loser. Let's call it out for what it is, you know. That's what sports are there for. All right, you have no social life, no family, no friends? Don't worry. We have NBA basketball for you. But all kidding aside, there is pressure come holiday season, all right? You need money and, like, there's, you know, expectations, girlfriends, wives, families, and everything else in between. So basically, what I'm trying to tell you here is the bets that you make this weekend will have ramifications on your Christmas experience next week. You lose all your money this week. Yeah, no, sorry. Sorry, honey. And you're going to end up sitting around a Christmas tree, you know, a pretty disgruntled crew. And we've all been there before. Where are the presents? Sorry, there's no presents. I lost it all on the Camellia Bowl. You know, I laid it down. But if you win, look, you're going to be with a nice hot chick. Kid's going to be happy. Look how happy this guy is. He's like, great, I do nothing. He looks like an analytics guy. Like, yo, look at it. Let's go back to the old family. Old family is like, these guys are the guys that I don't believe in analytics. I've been betting on football for 40 years. Shut the hell up. And then look, they're like looking at the TV. They're like, great call, Dad. Great, great freaking call. Then we got the young guy. Look at him. Yeah, he's Johnny Analytics. He watches Pat Mayo videos. I don't know. That chick looks a little too hot for that goofball. Starting to piss me off, actually, in that. But anyways, so which family do you want to be, man? You want to be like me? Or you want to be like that dude, man, with the girl and the kid? If you want to be like the dude and the kid there, then you listen to me. Otherwise, you're going to end up like that other disgruntled family sitting around the tree going, you know what? My family sucks, man. My life sucks. I've got no money. But we're going to make some money right now. And all kidding aside, once again, this is it, guys. We've got 41 college football bowl games coming up right now, man. Yeah, this is it. You know, this is the finish line right now. As bad of a season as you might have had, okay, betting on football, it doesn't matter. There's time. There's still time to get it all back, man. You got 41. Think about it, 41 bowl games. That's you got sides and totals. That's 82 choices. You start throwing in first halves and second halves. Suddenly you got 362 choices to bet on. You start throwing in the NFL playoffs and the NFL finales. Basically, we've got over 1,000 NFL situations, college football situations, games, props, and angles to bet on over the next 3 weeks or so. And it's time to get serious right now. Doesn't matter, guys. You had a bad beat in September, so what? You had a bad beat a couple of weeks ago, so what? It's all irrelevant right now. It's time to step up and in and get it done. The college bowl season set to begin. We're going to get it done. Close strong. Close strong. Dig down deep. Stop making lazy decisions. Go the extra mile. Get that extra yard. And let's beat the book come holiday season so we can all end up like that guy with the hot chick as opposed to like the other guys there. All right? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzen. Let's get right down to business. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, prosportsinfo.com. coversexperts.com. And Steve, the intro of the show today, you know, I had some fun with it, but I wasn't kidding when I said the bets that you make now, it's sort of like a parent telling a teenager, the decisions that you make now will have ramifications for the rest of your life, young man. The decisions that you make now this weekend will really affect you next week for come Christmas time. Now, you and I have discussed this, and you always preach, you know, the marathon of this all. But let's be real, and your clients and everyone that watches this show and everyone that's going to be watching me on SBR and everything else in between, people don't want to hear any marathon crap. They want winners this weekend, college football, it's NFL. And I tell you what, you have a really bad week this week. You could have a pretty bad Christmas next weekend, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know that's the reality of it, but I don't live in that world, and that's not the way to do it. So what can I say? We talked about this last week. If you, but it's a perfect example of why you don't do it that way. Because does anyone realistically think that your holiday spending should be affected on based on if the Denver Broncos decide to kick that field goal last night and the game goes over the total instead of stays under with 2 minutes to go. I mean, you know,
I would say
not the
that
way you want to go.
I would say that probably about 75% of sports bettors, though.
I don't disagree. You know? I take the over.
I mean, look, we say it every year. Is the Super Bowl the smartest game to bet on? Yet people get insanely stupid with it, right? Because it's the last one.
Well, and most of them don't. A lot of them don't play basketball, which is a great moneymaker. They don't play baseball, which is a great moneymaker, as you and I know. So yeah, they don't care because they've got 6 months till football starts. So it's all or nothing. Because there again, it's like when you sit down at a blackjack table, you buy in for $100. You lose. You know, you play until you lose the $100. You know, you shouldn't be losing 100% of your bankroll at the blackjack table. You should be losing like 1 or 2% mathematically. But it all comes down to money management, bankroll, and bet size.
That is a good point. That is a good point. Okay, so let's jump in right now. There's something for everybody, though. You know, we should be able to find some winners on the board over the next 72 hours. Something for everybody tonight. We got a Division III championship game, FCS playoffs, bowl season set to kick off. Of course, the NFL football on Saturday as well. So let's start off with Mary Harden Baylor, Steve, versus Mount Union in the Stag Bowl, Salem, Virginia. I don't know how far you are away from Salem, but I got to be honest with you. And I don't follow D3 that much because there's no lines during the regular season here. There's basically a line for this game every year, but it's pretty routine that it's Whitewater and Mount Union. I didn't know much about Mary Harden Baylor, but that's a shame on me because they're riding a 29-game win streak under the defending Division III champions. And if you're wondering, Mary Harden Baylor, they are connected to Baylor University. Going back to the mid-1800s when Baylor opened, they didn't allow women to study in the same room with men. So they opened up their own campus. It was Mary Harden campus, Mary Harden Baylor University. In 1922, they allowed men to go to Mary Harden, and Mary Harden became its own entity. Mary Harden Baylor, there's a little history lesson.
Yeah, and that's more information than I've got for this entire game right now, so I appreciate it. That's actually pretty interesting stuff. But yeah, Mountain Union, y'all always dominated this for years. It was them in Whitewater. So I was a little surprised to see Mountain Union as a dog, but yeah, I don't know much about Mary Harden Baylor. And the fact that they're defending champs, it looks like they might be the new king. Because one thing you do notice in Division III and Division II is that you normally have the same suspects, and when one team starts winning, they win multiple championships. So it looks like the odds makers are saying that, you know, Mary Harden Baylor is the new power in Division III.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Last year they played, Steve, in the semifinal, and Mount Union's a power in this, and Mary Harden knocked them off.
Right.
So as you stated,
feel like the tide might be turning.
Looks like there's a new kid on the block, and it's funny because the kids on Mary Harden are saying, we want to be what Mount Union were. You know, we want to be the kingpins. One thing I've noticed about this stuff, very low scoring, Steve.
Right.
Like, you know, it was 14-12 last year. I'm looking at the playoff games this year. Not a lot of shootouts, man. You know, a very defensive-minded football that I think is going to be played here tonight. So I think the under could be worth a look in this game.
Yeah, it's around 47. I was going to say the same thing from what I've, you know, I'm kind of from afar. I don't handicap these games real close because, like you said, during the regular season, they never play 1A teams. It's really not worth the time to dive in for one game. But I have noticed the same thing that normally the offensive level is a little less. And it makes sense, Gabe. These are non-scholarship Division III guys. These are guys that aren't good enough basically to play at a Division I school. So usually they're a little bit slower, a little bit smaller, and it's more like high school football. And you normally see lower scoring games there as well because the passing game isn't as explosive. So I think it makes a lot of sense that these games are lower scoring.
Yeah, 47 might be a little bit high here this evening, and I'm going to be looking to be laying the 3.5, actually. All right. So, you know, I know you know about this scene. Sam Houston State and North Dakota State on the board here. I bit the bullet last week. I hit the over, but I got, you know, I was like, man, I got to take 23 points with Wofford. Didn't work out. All right. North Dakota State pulled away. Wofford looked good early. North Dakota State are just so incredibly consistent on a weekly basis in which they generally score 35, 38 points, and they generally hold you to 10 to 14 points. You know, and they just do this systematically, but little bit of a changing of the guard over at the FCS level as well, in which North Dakota State, you know, ruled this stuff with Carson Wentz and other guys. They won 5 years in a row, but James Madison won last year, and the Dukes, of course, are riding a 25-game win streak now, and they're playing South Dakota State tomorrow. It'd be interesting. We could have North Dakota State versus South Dakota State. We could have, you know, James Madison versus North Dakota State. Some good stuff going on here. Sam Houston State are a good team, but they always get here, and then they always lose to North Dakota State. Like, they've lost 3 of the last 4 times they played in 4 of the last 5 years against these guys.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's certain is we're going to have North Dakota State in the finals. They're a 20.5-point favorite for a reason. In fact, my power ratings make the line almost 24, so I actually think it's a little short. Sam Houston State's been in the finals before. They've been a powerhouse, but they're only about the 9th or 10th team in my power ratings right now, 1AA. North Dakota State is number one ahead of Madison. And Madison's a good team, but they're not the best team, and we're seeing that with the point spread. They're only about a 3-point favorite tomorrow over South Dakota State. In fact, my power ratings on the neutral field only have James Madison a 0.5 point ahead of South Dakota State.
Jackrabbits are a good team.
Right, and North Dakota State's ahead of both of them. So, and the fact that North Dakota State did not win the title last year, I think they're really focused. They have a huge, strong home field advantage. Yeah. Obviously, the finals will be on a neutral field next month in Frisco, Texas. But I think they're playing with a mission, and they're winning their games by almost 28 points per average per game this year, and I think this line is actually too low at 20.5.
The Fargo Dome, great name. You know what? So, yeah, Sam Houston State lead the FCS in yards, 552 yards a game. They're scoring 45.6 points per game. Yeah, get this, North Dakota State only give up 11 points a game. It's pretty crazy. The total, though, Steve, it was 64. And we always see big line movement with these type of football games. But it was 64. It's been bet up to 66 right now. It's crazy because North Dakota State's defense is so good, but Sam Houston State's defense is not very good. So I understand the move to the over here.
Yeah, I mean, North Dakota State's averaging 39 points a game, so they should get in the high 40s, almost 50 here. And if that's the case and they win by, you know, 20-some, then that would be like a, you know, a 50-20 game, 50-25, 50-30. Wherever you do the math there, that's probably getting into the 70-plus range.
Yeah, I think we can creep just over the numbers. So you're seeing Sam Houston, I didn't see a number yet. So you're seeing threes with the Dukes and the Jackrabbits tomorrow?
It's like at one book right now. That's the look-ahead line. My power ratings would make it half on a neutral field. So the question becomes, how much is home field worth? It's worth at least 3, maybe 4. So I think this line will probably be around 4 tomorrow. But I'm seeing an overnight look-ahead line right now at -3. But it's going to be a competitively priced game. South Dakota State has a tight end that'll probably be a first or second round draft pick, a Gronkowski type tight end at the 1AA level.
All right, Steve. So I've beaten the crap out of the bowl games that are going tomorrow right now. So I don't really want to repeat myself too much. So it's fitting I could take a look at your column over at Covers, three games that you wrote about to keep your eye on the point spreads, when to bet them. We got FIU and Temple on the board in the Gasparilla Bowl. What's your take on this?
Well, in general, you know, I always lean towards underdogs in these early bowl games, and it doesn't mean you just blindly play all the underdogs, but what you want to look for is more of a play against some of the big favorites, and I feel like Temple's a little bit of a false favorite here. This is a team that had a really, what were they, 10-3, I think, back-to-back seasons going into this year. Definitely down a notch this year. Owls actually were a 12-point favorite and lost last year outright. So they haven't exactly been a great bowl team either. And I think Florida International is excited for this game. And dogs of 7 or more in these early minor bowl games usually are the way to go.
Which leads me to App State and Toledo. You know, interesting football game here. App State not getting a lot of respect from the public and the odds makers.
It's a rematch, too. These teams played in the Camellia Bowl last year. So, you know, the question is who's less excited about the rematch?
What was probably the result?
Right, you know, they're probably both not too happy. The Rockets actually lost outright last year, 31-28.
31-28, so it's a revenge spot for Toledo, yeah.
It is, but you're getting a 7.5-point dog that beat this team last year. And more importantly, Toledo just won the MAC title game, you know. So how excited could they be for this one? I think this is another spot where we could have a live dog.
All right, so the game, you wrote about one game tomorrow here. And this one, you know, this one intrigues me. I'm leaning with the over here, but your thoughts do resonate with me. I'm not going to lie. You look at Georgia State, and they're able to throw the football efficiently. I think they got a 31st ranked passing attack in college football with Connor Manning at quarterback. No relation to Peyton and Eli. But Manning's a good quarterback for Georgia State. Yet their red zone offense struggles. And they turn the ball over. They can't punch it in like a lot of spread teams. They get there. They can't punch it in when they get into the red zone. So they have nice offensive yard numbers, but they only score 19 points a game. And, you know, this isn't the best Western Kentucky team. You know, they get here. It's hard for me to bet the under of a bowl game just, you know, because it's so low here. But it's climbing, Steve. It's up to 53.5 right now. The public's starting to bet these games now.
Yeah, and it was 50 when it opened. I did the article last week or early in the week. It was 52, and now it's, like you said, 53.5. And that's the reason I named this as the total to watch, because – it is a tough call because I agree with you. On the blind, you know, I said big underdogs, but you also want to look at the over, as you know, in these minor bowl games. And the reason he makes a lot of sense, these teams normally don't care much about these games.
Yeah.
And it just becomes a playground.
They're usually, these teams are usually 6-6 teams, no legacy at stake. And these teams are a lot of the time spread offensive teams. And also, Steve McKee is here too. They're not off for 4 weeks. These kids played 2 weeks ago for the most part. So they you know, it's not it, – they essentially had a bye week as opposed to the big-time bowl games where they're like new teams, man. You know, they haven't played in a month. It's ridiculous.
And how about Georgia State? They were 6-5 on the year. They were 5-1 on the road. They were 1-4 at home. That might be the most extreme home-road negative dichotomy
and
we've
Steve,
ever seen.
I brought this up, actually, when people are you know asking me about bowl tips. Like, what do I look for? I was saying, you know, I look for, you know, is he an interim coach, quarterback play, enthusiasm factor, travel. You know, you go down the list, but you have to look at every angle in these football games.
Yeah, and they were a better road team. In fact, their games averaged 52.5 on the road, and over on the season, there's only 45. So their home games averaged about 40.
And bowl games are road games.
Like
a bowl game's a road game, isn't it? Like I look, you're right, Steve. If I look at a game. And I'm like, all right, look at this team. This team really sucked on the road, but this team is good on the road. This is a road game. Technically, it's a neutral game, but both teams are away from their home stadium and their comfort zone. How do teams perform in that? And that's something, I'm glad you brought that up. It's something that I take a look at, actually, too, when I was capping these bowl games about, yeah, you know what? This team has showed some moxie on the road, so I know they'll show some toughness in a bowl game on the road.
And look at Western Kentucky, one of the worst road teams in the country. 19 points a game. They averaged 1.4 yards per rush on the road this year in 6 road games. 38 rushing yards on 26 carries per game. So that's another reason why the under is interesting here, even though it's an early bowl game.
Money burners, too, against the spread. What, they covered 3 games this year?
They were 1-5 against the spread on the road.
Yeah, 3-9 overall this year, guys. You know, you bet on Western Kentucky every week, you're in a poorhouse.
Well, that's a good example, Gabe. They were a powerhouse mid-major team for several years, including last season. They averaged over 40 points a game, and now they're averaging 26, 19 on the road, and they were bad this year at 6-6. Those are the type of teams that, you know, fall fast, kind of like Florida State, North Carolina, for example, this year.
All right, NFL football. Aaron Rodgers returns, and there's a lot of debate here. You're getting both sides of the argument. Now, for the record, and you know, Aaron Rodgers returns. Oh, how is he going to play after being out for so long? Well, he's been in this situation before, and both times he's came back, once he came back in the last game of the year and he threw for like 318 yards and led him to the playoffs. Another time he came back after the collarbone injury, the prolonged injury, he threw for like 404 yards or something and 4 touchdowns. So the 2 times that Aaron Rodgers has come back after a prolonged absence, he's lit it up in his first game back. There's no denying it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game's a big question mark. I could see either one happening. Obviously, he's capable of lighting it up, like you said. History shows that. But I also wonder how fully healthy he is, because this is about as fast as anybody could hope he was going to be back. You know, a lot of people thought he was not going to be back for the regular season when the injury first happened. And Carolina's a good defensive opponent as well. That's something else that has to be factored here. One of the better defenses in the NFC. And the one thing about Green Bay is they have not been good defensively this year, especially on the road. They're giving up almost 6 yards per play away from home this season.
I think the over is worth a look in this game at 47, Steve. Everyone's talking about the Patriots and the Steelers turning into a track meet. I'm not so sure. I don't know, man. It's going to have a playoff feel to that game. I'm not, you know, it's almost seems too easy. Oh, yeah, they're going to go up and down the field, both Pittsburgh and New England. But I think Green Bay and Carolina could, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to probably throw for 2-3 touchdown passes, and Cam Newton's going to do some damage here. I think you might have to win, you know, score 30 points to win this game on Sunday, Steve.
Yeah, and you look at the New England-Pittsburgh totals. The last 3 times they've played the last 3 years, we had 53 in the playoff game last year. That barely went over, as you remember, and that's what the total is now. That was 49.5. Now it's 53. They had 43 and 49 the 2 prior meetings to that. So, yeah, if it has a playoff intensity, but, you know, the Green Bay game could as well. That's kind of a playoff-intense game for both those squads as well, so you just never know how it plays out.
Yeah, I know. I can just picture the Rodgers just pitching it around everywhere and getting aggressive out of the gate. All right, we got some Saturday football rarities Saturday. At least there's some tradition isn't gone. I've always enjoyed the Saturday NFL football. Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, down to 5 right now. You know, Steve, the last 3 times that these 2 teams have played against each other, it's been decided by exactly 3 points. The game before that decided by 4 points. The game before that decided by 3 points. So four of the last five times they played, it's been exactly 3 points. The only other time it was 4 points. It's always freaking close. You have to go all the way back to 2014 to get a double-digit gap between these two teams.
Yeah, and I mean, I think some of the money's coming in on Chicago because a lot of bettors feel like last week was a bye for them. I mean, they had lost five in a row. They'd scored 3 and 14. They'd actually scored 16 points or less in four of those last five losses. And then all of a sudden they explode for a 33-7 road win at Cincinnati, and they put up over 480 yards of offense last week. I think the big question is, can they repeat that this week? Did they really figure out what was wrong, or was that a one-and-done situation?
All right, and finally, in closing, we have the Chargers and the Chiefs. I've been saying it all week. The wrong team's favorite here, in my opinion. I like the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, this line is crazy. I mean, the Chargers obviously could win the game, but there's no question, Gabe, that Kansas City would have been favored all season long probably until this week. And that's because they've lost five of their last six, while the Chargers have won four straight. This is the Chiefs team that started the season 6-0. They would have been like a 7-point favorite in this game a month and a half ago.
Steve Merrill, check out his picks over at ProSportsInfo.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve Merrill, and you can find him over at Covers.com on the experts page. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Howard Bender steps up, and we'll talk some NFL DFS.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, I told you guys off the top of the program, a little bit frustrated. I apologize. My millionaire maker lineup on a weekly basis, it generally sucked. You know, we didn't hit really big last year, but at least once, you know, it was, 20-buck entry, won 1,400 bucks. 20-buck entry, won 600 bucks. We ended up winning like 2,500 bucks for $360 spent last year, given documented to you guys on a weekly basis. This year, we started out okay, but we're just, you know, I'm always a player short, day late, dollar short, man. Congratulations to Ricky Sanders winning the 70K earlier in the week. So let's bring in a pro right now to try to help us put us in a winner's circle, man. Build my confidence up if you can, Howard. I'm falling apart here, buddy, physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
I'm here for you, Gabe, whatever you need. You need emotional support. I got a shoulder for you to cry on. No problem, man. Big hugs all around.
I appreciate that. You're a class act. I appreciate that. So all kidding aside, no, I'm feeling good. I'm excited. I like my lineup this weekend. I'll throw a couple of the players I got at you and get your take. But let's get down to business. Aaron Rodgers returns for the Panthers this week. And, you know, I brought this up a couple of times over the last couple of days. He's been in this exact scenario twice, in which he was off for a prolonged period of time and came back in a regular season game late in the season. First time he did it, he threw 404 yards and four touchdowns. Last time he did it, 318 yards and two touchdowns. He seems to be immune from ring rust, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know if he's really immune to it. I mean, that last game they came back where he threw 318 yards, it was against the Bears. I looked at a lot of film from that game, and I mean, there was a lot of hesitation on his part, played a little scared a couple of times. Like that first sack that he took wasn't even a sack. He saw it was coming, so he fell to the ground and he turtled up, like he just didn't want to take that hit. So, you know, there's definitely that involved there. And, you know, I mean, that was 2013. He's 4 years older now. Yep. It's another collarbone injury here. But I got to say, you know, if you're talking about, you know, Rodgers versus somebody like Dak Prescott or Big Ben or some, you know, even Drew Brees, I'm still going to pivot away from Aaron Rodgers. But if you're talking about guys who lost Carson Wentz and now they're turning around to Blake Bortles, Jared Goff, even Nick Foles, you know, I kind of feel like at this point in time right now, Rodgers' floor is probably, you know, equal to theirs, if not even better, where I don't even think any of those guys have a ceiling that could touch Rodgers' ceiling. So if it's a lesser quarterback than that, then I'm kind of, you know, pivoting over there. My co-host Jim Bowden actually reached out to the Packers front office the other day, got the inside scoop that everything is a go. They are very happy to have him back. It's got me back on the Jordy Nelson train here as well, and using Rodgers in places where I never thought I would.
Just, you know, great points you raise. And radio show on at 4 o'clock, Sirius XM. And Fantasy Alarm. So does Devontae Adams was Hundley's guy. Nelson fell off the face of the earth. Does Adams now fall off the face of the earth, and does Nelson come back up? So is it a big thing? And for DFS, let's, you know, from a DFS perspective, I'm staying away from Rodgers as well. And in fact, I think Cam Newton probably puts up bigger numbers here. I saw a crazy stat here, and I wish I would have realized this earlier in the year, that Cam Newton runs for like 60 yards a game at home compared to like 30 on the road per average or so. You know, 44 yards gives you, that's the equivalent of a touchdown right now. Do you like Cam Newton in this spot?
I do actually like Cam in this spot, and I've got shares of Cam Newton in playoff matchups for seasonal that I'm using as well. I'm looking at him for a couple of cash lineups, you know, too, just kind of, you know, getting a piece of it there, because I do like this matchup for him. I like it for Devin Funchess. Yep. I think that the two of them are going to, you know, be able to hook up and connect. I think he wants to reconnect with Greg Olsen. So, you know, I feel good about Cam. As far as Devontae Adams goes, listen, this guy's caught a touchdown pass on the road for like 12 or 13 straight games right now. Rodgers did have a rapport with him before the injury anyway, so I'm not really, you know, tilting too far away. I think Jordy Nelson will get into the fray a lot more here, but I do think that they're going to probably pull away a little bit from Jamal Williams in the ground game to let Rodgers get comfortable, to let him air it out. So I think that Adams will still see his targets, while Jordy then, you know, obviously gets beefed up as well.
Steelers and Patriots, the betting market, and, you know, I obviously break them down from a betting perspective as well. Everyone loves the over of this game. I'm not so sure. I mean, this is like a playoff game. This is home field advantage at stake. You know, the playoff game creeped over the number before when they played. It was 49. It was 43. Where do you stand on this? Because I'm seeing people, Antonio Brown is a must play. Tom Brady's a must play. Bounce back and all this other stuff. From a fantasy perspective, I might just sit one this one out and kind of hope that it's not as high scoring as it is that everybody assumes. Where do you stand on this game?
Well, you know, you look at the defensive numbers for the Patriots. You look at what's been going on with the Steelers right now. Losing Ryan Shazier in the middle is huge for them. And we saw the Ravens able to take advantage of that. So, you know, I still think it is going to be a high-scoring game. The kicker is, though, is that I'm kind of tilting more towards the Patriots. Bill Belichick coming off of a loss, 38-11.
Yeah.
That right there kind of tells you. And then I looked at the game logs for Big Ben going up against the Patriots. The last time they faced was like 2015 in a playoff matchup, and he didn't have such a great game. But then you go back and you look at his, you know, his home numbers against the Patriots in those matchups, and he's airing it out a good amount here. So while I think that, you know, maybe the Patriots kind of, you know, take advantage here and they actually win this one, I still think fantasy-wise, I still think you kind of have to get your guys in there. If you're talking about for DFS, what I'm basically doing is I'm going to have, you know, one lineup where I'm really loading up on this game,
yeah,
and then I've got another lineup where I'm completely fading it.
I like that. You know what? Yeah, I like where you're going with that, because obviously you're playing multiple lineups, and I wouldn't mind stacking a lineup here. Here's another little lineup stack that I was considering, and it's in your backyard. And a guy that, you know, with the Buffalo Bills is kind of frustrating. He's fast as hell. His hands aren't terrible, but, you know, he always gets hurt. I mean, he falls down and he gets hurt, and there's always a problem. But over the last couple of weeks, Jimmy G and Goodwin seem to have a little rapport going right now, don't they, Howard?
They definitely do. Listen, I'm a big Jimmy Grapes fan right now. I love what he's bringing to the table here. Threw for over 330 yards last week. I think he's the type of quarterback that Kyle Shanahan really likes, really wants to lean on. You saw them get Carlos Hyde a little bit more involved in the passing game as well. So when you're going up against Tennessee, like, you know, listen, Dick LeBeau is a defensive genius, an absolute defensive genius. But this guy sells out to stop the run so much that secondary for Tennessee is really a little bit on the weak side here. So when you look at a guy like Marquise Goodwin, who's clearly the favorite target for Jimmy Grapes, well, I mean, why wouldn't you use him? I mean, well, he had 99 yards 2 weeks ago, 80-some-odd yards last week. If you're looking to squeeze a guy in as a flex play here who's not too pricey, you know, here's a guy who's seeing the targets, who's getting the work, and you got to figure at some point, and especially going up against this inexperienced secondary of Tennessee, that he could break one for a touchdown this week.
I played Blake Bortles, DFS. I got a lineup with Bortles, $5,700 at DraftKings, threw Westbrook in here at a flex at $5,100. You know, playing against this Houston secondary, giving up the most points to quarterbacks. I know Bortles isn't a gunslinger, but he seems to be consistently throwing two touchdowns, 250, 260-plus yards, $5,700. What's your take on my stance on Bortles here?
You know, listen, he's been fantastic. He's been rock solid and very consistent over the last few weeks. Doesn't it seem, though, Gabe, doesn't it seem like every time suddenly
yes.
everybody's relying on Blake Bortles,
I know.
And he just takes a dump on your fantasy lineup?
And, you know, like, I see people saying, trust him, he can win your fantasy playoffs for you. Like, it's crazy, I know. What about Foles? Any interest in Foles at a cheaper price?
You know, minimally. You know, here's the problem is that, you know, you look at what happens with – we saw this last night, actually, when Brock Osweiler took over.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like Demaryius Thomas didn't see squat in work once Osweiler took over and Cody Latimer was the guy. So now you're sitting here, you're looking at Nick Foles. Who's he gone up with here? You know, has he been – how much has he really worked with Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar? Are they going to lean on the run a little bit more? You've brought in a guy like Jay Ajayi, and they also have LeGarrette Blount. So wouldn't you kind of try to take the pressure off of Nick Foles a little bit and let that happen? I think Foles is a guy who can probably get you 250 and two, but, you know, I'm not loving it.
I read people saying that – they're going to want to air it out because they got to get him into a rhythm and stuff. And I'm thinking the opposite. I'm thinking we can't get this guy hurt because if he gets hurt, we're dead. So yeah. let's hand the football off. Let's not do anything crazy. Let's win the game and try to get a bye week and figure things out as we go along. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you there. That's why I'm,
so who do
I'm
you
know,
like?
Sneaking Ajayi in there.
Who do you like, quarterbacks, running backs? We got a couple of minutes left. I'll give you the floor. Who am I missing out on? Who do you like? Who are some value picks out there?
Wow, interesting. So, you know, I'm kind of paying down. Running backs, I'm really kind of looking to pay down a little bit here. I really like Latavius Murray this week.
I've got him in my lineup. I love it.
Yeah, I'm in a great spot with him. I definitely like him a lot. I love Alex Collins, too. I don't know how we can sit here and overlook a guy like Alex Collins based on, you know, what he's got going on right now. I mean, he's got multiple touchdowns in some games. He's not, you know, ripping off 120, 150-yard games here, but he's still getting the touches. Baltimore's definitely going to want to chew the clock up. They're going to want to stay in control over them there. So Collins and Latavius Murray are a pair of guys who I like. On the opposite end of that that San Francisco game, I kind of like the, you know, Rishard Matthews here. I'm not, you know, in love with Marcus Mariota by any stretch of the imagination, but when you look at like Rishard Matthews and the relationship that the two of them have, you look at that San Francisco secondary, I think he's a guy who you can kind of take a look at and pay down for in order to sneak in guys like Adam Thielen, guys like Julio Jones. You can kind of get away with that. So if you have like a Marquise Goodwin and a Rishard Matthews in there, well, your number one wideout and your flex play can be absolutely juicy.
It's real gut check time for Mariota. He's going to have to step up. And I see that, you know, everyone talks about the Giants and their woes against the tight ends. San Francisco's had a hard time too, haven't they? Six touchdowns in the last 7 weeks to the tight end position.
Yeah, last couple of weeks, it's definitely been interesting. And, you know, Mariota loves to rely heavily on Delanie Walker here. Paying down for tight ends, though, I'm telling you, I'm on the Mercedes Lewis train again, and I love me some Ben Watson.
Ooh.
Both these guys, you know, you got Watson going up against Cleveland, and that's been, you know, I mean, they're I think they give up the second or third most fantasy points per game to the tight end. And what I love most about Mercedes Lewis is that he does see the looks from Blake Bortles. And you look at Houston's coverage against the tight end. Before J.J. Watt was lost, they were ranked third. They're down at 26th right now. Tight ends are scoring on them like at a ridiculous rate here. So when you look at a guy like Lewis and you've seen that three touchdown game, you've seen, you know, the touchdowns here and there from him, all of a sudden, he kind of looks like a much more interesting play, and you want to talk bargain price. I mean, it's hard to get dirt, you know, more dirt cheap than that.
We got to get out of here, unfortunately, but I'm kicking the tires on Charles Clay, too, at $3,000 with Tyrod back.
Absolutely. Love the targets.
Yeah, exactly. Flying under the radar. People don't think of the Bills' offense and stuff, but when he's back, he's the guy. You know, that's just the fact. He was their leading receiver before he got hurt. All right, we got to get out of here. Howard, it's always a pleasure, man. Check out Howard. Roto Buzz guy, Sirius XM at 4 o'clock, Fantasy Alarm. Always a pleasure, Howard. Thanks for the time, man.
Gabe, thanks for having me, man. Always a good time.
There's Howard Bender with us. Always love talking sports with Howard. All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. I'll share my DFS lineup with you. Thanks, Howard.
No problem, Gabe. Thank you. Why don't you share your DFS lineup with me, man? What's up?
Appreciate it. Yeah, I just threw it together. I got Bortles, Mike Davis.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I bought down too. Mike Davis, Latavius Murray, my other running back. I went fucking Pauly Public, Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Devontae Adams.
Yep.
Devin Funchess.
Yep.
Delanie Walker.
Nice.
Dede Westbrook.
Good upside.
And Browns, my defense. But not a bad lineup, eh?
No, I dig that. Those are a lot of players who I've got in my watch list the entire time. So
good, but nice. Like you said, as soon as, and you know, there's going to be people buying into Bortles now. You know he's going to suck. Eh?
He's going to take a shit on all of
it's
us.
Going to be 10 for 24 and 2 picks and shit.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for having me, Gabe.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Always thanks for your time, man.
Peace.
Cool.
Hey, fantasy nerds, here's a question for you. What do mozzarella sticks and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network have in common? They're both awesome apps. But seriously, download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app right now and get all your favorite shows and fantasy advice at the touch of a tiny icon on your screen. Snapchat and Instagram aren't going to help you win a fantasy football title, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app will. So go get it now on Google Play and iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's jump in and talk some DraftKings NFL DFS. Get you ready for the weekend. Put together this lineup. I think it's a pretty strong lineup, actually, guys. But I've said that before, and we've been a day late and a dollar short. Let's start off at the quarterback position, in which we're rolling the dice a little bit here. Yes and no. Blake Bortles. That's right. Blake Bortles. $5,700. Listen, he's thrown for at least 260 yards, a couple of touchdowns on a weekly basis over the last couple of weeks. We're talking about a Houston Texan defense and secondary that's given up the most fantasy points to the quarterback position this year. Bortles will not be heavily owned. He's been extremely efficient, Blake Bortles. Like you got to give credit where credit's due. And if you look at this from a DFS perspective, in the last three games, he's at 18, 25, and 23. DK points. He had one clunker, 9 points. Before that, he 18. Before that, 16. So he's going to get you back the value. Is there a ton of massive upside? No, but there is value there with Blake Bortles. Speaking of value, I like Mike Davis in this spot at $4,000. We know that the Rams struggle to stop the run. This is an absolutely positively must-win football game for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm expecting Mike Davis to get quite a few touches here, actually. It's obviously the Russell Wilson show, but you know that belly, man. That belly's it's kind of tender with the Rams. You can punch it in the gut and run right up the middle. I think Seattle will be able to do that a little bit, man. Latavius Murray's in a great spot here, guys. He's been incredibly consistent. Yeah, you know, last week wasn't great against Carolina. That was a strange football game. But Cincinnati Bengals, everyone's hurt on defense. And the Cincinnati Bengals have quit. You know, they're without like four or five starters on defense. How did they do last week against the Bears? They tapped out, man. All right? They tapped out. Minnesota's not going to do anything crazy here. They see that Carson Wentz got hurt. They don't want to get anybody hurt. They're just going to run the football down the Bengals' throats. I expect Murray to have a big game at $4,900, some nice value right there. I don't like being part of Pauly Public here, but I am with Antonio Brown. You know, I'm not convinced this game's going to be a track meet shootout, but I am convinced that Antonio Brown's going to get his. I mean, how the hell do we not play a guy that's been targeted 34 times in the last two football games? He's been targeted 46 times, you know, in the last three, 59 in the last four, man. It's insanity. The guy's just putting up monster numbers. And I know the Patriots do a good job of taking away the other team's quote-unquote, you know, best players. But, you know, Antonio Brown is just, he's got to be in the lineup. But, you know, since we save money with Bortles, we save money with Davis, we save money with Latavius Murray, now we're able to throw some money around. So we got Antonio Brown. Now we got Davante Adams as well. Davante Adams is a freaking stud. I think he surpassed Jordy Nelson as the guy in Green Bay. I think Nelson's starting to show his age a little bit. Now, clearly, Brett Hundley wasn't on the same page with Jordy Nelson, and Davante Adams was the guy. But you want to talk about consistent. You know, Davante Adams just consistently putting up, you know, last week, 30 fantasy points. The week before, right, he only put his 8. Before that, was 19, 23, 20. The targets were there. 10 catches last week. He's not going to put up the same type of sick numbers, but I'll tell you what. I think this Carolina-Green Bay game has potential to really open up and be a high-scoring game. Green Bay's defense is extremely pedestrian, all right? And Aaron Rodgers is back. And you know Aaron Rodgers, the last two times he's come back from injury, threw for 404 yards and 318 yards. All right, so we got Davante Adams in here at $6,800. Give me Devin Funchess. I'll give props to Devin Funchess. I wasn't sure if he was a real number one wide receiver, and it's a small sample size right now, but the guy's getting open, man, and he's been making plays, and I think he's going to get open and be able to make plays against this Green Bay Packer secondary. I like Funchess. All right, we're going to go with Delanie Walker here. All right, I want a piece of this. Mariota's been underachieving as of late. This is a must-win game for the Tennessee Titans. San Francisco's defense, very vulnerable to the tight end position. In fact, they've given up touchdowns to the tight ends in 6 of the last 7 football games that they have played in. You want to talk about targets. Holy crap. It's pretty clear that that Westbrook is becoming the guy right now. I swear, you know, one thing I am good at is identifying young players are going to be good. I told people in the preseason, this Westbrook kid's the real deal. He's going to be like the star wide receiver there one day. And it's like I told people, anyone listen to Michael Thomas was going to surpass Cooks. But Westbrook is getting open. The kid is fast as hell. He's got nice hands. Bortles likes him. I'm going to go I'm going with Dede Westbrook here. Been a target machine. He put up 19, 13, and 10 DK points in the last 3 weeks. And finally, in closing, the Browns defense. Don't love it, but I don't hate it. Joe Flacco is capable of turning the ball over, maybe a fumble or two along the way. And that wraps it up. I think we're out of time, and also there's a weird beeping sound going on here in the studio.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with some NCAA football. We've got Division III football on the board this evening from Salem, Virginia. It's the Stag Bowl. Normally, it's Mount Union versus Whitewater, but there's a new kid on the block, Mary Harden Baylor. Say who? What? Mary Harden Baylor? Well, start to learn a name, guys, because these guys are for real, man. They've won 29 consecutive games. They're defending D3 national champions, and Mount Union might have the brand name recognition when it comes to Division III football, but looks like Mary Hart and Baylor have the players. Let's lay to 3.5 with Hart and Baylor, and we'll go Hart and Baylor under Mount Union under 47 in this football game. We got some FCS playoffs on the board tonight. Sam Houston State and North Dakota State. North Dakota State are a juggernaut powerhouse, guys. Sam Houston State score a boatload of points. They put up 45 points per game. I don't want to take the 20 because I don't, you know, North Dakota State could kill them. You know, I'm kind of leaning with the points here, but let's bet the over, all right? Let's bet the over in this game. You know what? Screw it. No. Give me the 20 points as well. 20.5 with the Bearcats. Scratch. Bearcats. And, yeah, so give me Sam Houston State, North Dakota State over, and give me the Bearcats plus 20.5. Scratch your bookie up, man. And NBA, only got one more pick. Spurs and Rockets. I don't want to force anything. I don't love everything. I think the Spurs and the Rockets are going to go over 213. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.